When you think of tech around the Bay Area, you may think of laptops and apps. But the Bay Area is also America's video game capital. We have powerhouse game makers like Electronic Arts and hot young startups like Twitch, a site that lets fans watch other gamers play video games. 2 weeks ago, 10,000 gamers packed the SAP Center at San Jose to watch the Intel Extreme Masters, a tournament for so-called esports athletes. Just like professional sports, there's a growing number of amateur players excited about watching experts compete at video games. In fact, last year, more people watched the online championship for the game League of Legends than those who watched the NBA Finals. With all those fans, there's now big money in esports, including a small class of players earning six figures. But the industry is young and can be unpredictable. So how do young e-athletes navigate the constantly shifting rules, games, and economics? KALW's Jeremy Dalmas brings us this report.
Qin Dong Wan is the fastest typist I have ever seen. My eyes barely have time to focus on the monitor before he changes the view.
The screen changes about 3 times a second.
What are those bug things?
These ones are workers.
Okay, they're mining the minerals?
Yes.
We require more minerals.
The screen is filled with alien bugs, building bases and attacking other alien bugs.
I've been playing StarCraft for 9 years.
Don Wong is playing at a rate of 350 actions per minute. Every action is a command he gives the computer. That adds up to 6 decisions every second. And it means he's playing 6 times faster than the casual player.
We require more Vespine gas.
This is one of the most competitive video games in the world. And in June, Don Wong, whose in-game name is Hydra, beat out competitors in Europe and North America to win the seasonal championships.
He does not want to lose out on the championship that he has worked so much for. 62 army supply against 20 at the moment as Little Bo Stalkers are being ravaged. He knows it. And Hydra will be your Season 2 World Championship Series champion.
Video games are now spectator sports. And Dong Wan, who's 24, has made over $160,000 in prize money by playing in tournaments, sometimes for tens of thousands of online viewers. He first started winning money in South Korea when he was 18. Unlike in America, professional gamers have been popular there for years. So this was something he's been working towards for a long time.
Yeah, I hoped that I'm gonna make money from, you know, video games. I just practice every day, like for at least 6 hours.
Staying competitive is more than a job. It's a full-time lifestyle. And he's living it in a 9-bedroom suburban house in Antioch. He shares with half a dozen other gamers on his professional gaming team. The living room is lined with young men in front of screens, all either playing video games or watching video games. The team is called Root Gaming, and many of the players I talked to were either recruited right after college or left college to try and go pro. Everyone who lives in the house gets free rent and their basic bills paid for.
I mean, that's what, you know, allows a lot of people to chase the dream, so to say.
Paulo Viscara owns Root. He's from Brazil. And the relationship between his esports company and the players in the house works like this. He hires top-level gamers, who are almost exclusively young men. The best players earn a salary. Root won't tell me how much Dong Wan makes, but describes it as decent but not outrageous. And sponsors give the team money for promotion, like putting their logo on team jerseys. It's not that different of a model from many professional sports. But Viscara says in the US, this whole thing is still really new.
Before StarCraft II, there was hardly any professional gaming.
The game was released back in 2010.
When they announced StarCraft II, me and one of my best friends, we decided to try and make a professional gaming team and make it the best team in North America. We didn't think that esports was going to be as big as it is now.
But it was. Root Gaming got this house 2 years ago.
Would you guys say you're more roommates or more like coworkers? What's that relationship like?
Yeah, I would say friends living together is the best way to describe it. I mean, we have a lot of fun. We have a pool outside. We go out to eat together.
Viscara is a competitive StarCraft player himself, ranked 138 in the world, which sets this small company apart from some of the bigger companies that own teams. It's cozier and more personal here. But if a player gets popular enough, he could leave. It's always a risk.
Then we have to try and keep them on our team. You know, a lot of really big teams basically just pick and choose who they want.
Root Gaming's quiet Antioch house is 90 minutes northeast from another gaming house in Alameda. Evil Geniuses is a heavyweight in the world of esports. One of their teams plays a 5-on-5 game called Dota 2. And when Evil Geniuses won the Dota 2 World Championships in Seattle's Key Arena this past August, they took home $6.5 million in front of a sold-out stadium and an online audience of millions. They keep running out, but JJ won't play! ET are your TI5 champions! It was the most money won in a single tournament in esports history.
Arrow, fly.
There's an audience all around. It's like a basic stadium, and then we're in the center, and then they can see us, and there's a big screen at the top, and people can watch from there.
So be it.
Sahil Arora is one of the 5 young men on the team. At 26, he's an older professional. His youngest teammate is 16.
Well, when I first started playing, my parents were very against it. But, I mean, once I kept playing and they saw that I was passionate about it and everything, they started being more accepting. My mom still wishes I was a doctor, but she's fine with it.
The sky alight.
No one would tell me how much players get paid, and companies don't want players to know how much their peers make. The team owners told me that if salaries were open knowledge, it would be too easy for other companies to poach players. And while every person I talked with is confident that esports will continue to grow, no one seems sure exactly how. There's a lot of uncertainty in the industry, which can make players' lives feel erratic. A game you're good at now might not be popular in a few years. Team rosters can abruptly change. With so much up in the air, Arora doesn't spend much time thinking about what he might do after gaming.
I try not to think about that. I'm just focusing on, you know, playing at the moment.
But in 15 years, he may be where Dennis Fong is.
Back in the 90s, I don't think at that time there was anything even called professional gaming. So I guess that would make me the first.
Fong won championships for 90s games like Doom and Quake, earlier incarnations of today's competitive games. He left gaming when he was in his early 20s to focus on business and has had a string of successful video game-related companies.
A lot of these esports careers last 2-3 years, right? I mean, it's pretty crazy because the game is constantly changing. You know, if you can't evolve with the times, you're out.
So if you can adapt and negotiate your contract and train for hours a day, are you finally set as an esports athlete? Fong says, sure, as long as an injury doesn't knock you out of competition.
Massive pain, shooting pains, kind of up your wrist, potentially all the way as high as your shoulder. If you touched my forearms back then, it would feel like there's a rope, you know, because it was so tight. The tendons were so tight and inflamed. These guys pull in, you know, $1.5 million, $2 million a year, and they're just playing games all day long. And they can make a really, really good living.
Tens of millions of people play these games every day, and some of them might become millionaires if they can beat the system as well as their opponents. For CrossCurrents, I'm Jeremy Dalmas.